Good, good, Eric. So, what's on your mind this beautiful morning?
I first want to start out by saying thanks to everyone, because I know this is a commitment. I feel it, so I know you guys do too. So, Rob, thank you for what you're doing to help me and my clients and my practice, and Tommy and the team at Touchstone. So thanks.
Oh, that's really sweet. Thank you.
I would say that this week's homework, this seems like a real important week. Really making the turn to agenda, what's in the meat of the 12-4-2, and I would say I'm tired and I'm frustrated. Letting one of, I think I told you I was going to have to fire my teacher from high school. It has been such an affirmation of the process to get rid of people that are time wasters and don't appreciate your value and your brand. And they have, Rick and Penny, they've really made, I haven't slept well the last, I would say, 4 nights. It's really frustrating that you feel like you have a relationship with people. You try not to make it personal when you let them go, and you think they're going to get it. And Rick, the husband, I think he got it. And Penny was more pissed off and hurt. And then they've just made the transfer process. They think we're dragging our heels, and it's frustrating. So anyways, I would just say, I'm kind of frustrated and hurt on that, but I know it's the right thing. It's difficult, and it's kind of like the devil. He wants you to deal with things that he deems are urgent versus things that are eternal, that make an eternal difference in our lives. So I feel it's the same way. But I want people to like me, and I want to separate a relationship, a business relationship, without making it personal. And they've kind of made it personal. So anyways, the Stephen Covey, the quadrants, that's what brought this to light, that it's easy to say, "Hey, Eric, let it go." My wife said, "Let it go." Those people that keep you away from important work and important clients, bogged down with, they're being time wasters. So I just, I feel a bit overwhelmed, with appointments and 12-4-2 and the agenda, doing CRM and follow-up, trying to get with centers of influence and those enthusiastically endorsed folks, and doing folders, trades after meetings. It's a lot. So I'm a positive person, but it's getting real. I think almost the easy part was letting people go, and now it's like, okay, and I'm down to about 175 relationships. You asked me, well, how many more, could you get to 150? And I think that's my goal. Because as you get into this, you realize, okay, the touch points are so many more. And you do have time to prospect. And I've won some new business because now I'm focusing on clients that are important, that have assets that I don't have, instead of being bogged down by time wasters. So anyways, I'll be quiet, but it's getting real.
No, it's getting real. Yeah. You're at the stage where it's like, oh my God, it's really amazing that there's a lot here, and you're in the middle of it. It will get better. You'll get in the groove, and here's what happens. When you first start calling these people this much, and you touch them this much, and they see you, then they open up, and they're like, "Yeah, you're gonna do this for me? I'm gonna send you some more assets." And you're like, "Whoa, okay." And then somebody else does it, and somebody else does it, and now you're doing more business because you're doing this, and so. But it will get smoother as you deal with the issues that come up, because you think you're doing everything, right? I'm really taking great care of my clients. But what happens is when you do this much contact, they open up and they tell you more and they share more and they give you more and they need more. And all of a sudden you're doing more business, but you're really busy. And that will gradually calm down over time, because there is only so much, unless they have 10 million, that they're going to need. And so it calms down. And so the calls don't become as, you know, as much work as they are now. And
in
so
your video this week, Rob, you said, you know, you should notice that your call volume is going down. That's the big thing I've noticed. And,
yes,
you know,
the incoming
I felt
calls.
Good last week, you know, when you said, hey, you're getting a lot done. Yeah, you get a lot more done when you don't have some of the time wasters, you know.
Well, you're a productive guy. I mean, just listening to you, you're a really productive guy, okay?
I try.
You're gonna the very fact that you're trying to do this with 175 clients is crazy, okay? But God, you know, bless you for doing and trying. It's just you're doing a lot, okay? And therefore it's going to be busier than the average person doing this. So just know that too. But you're also, you know, you're doing acquisition, you're doing it all, and you're in the middle of the storm. And so just understand it will get better. It will get better. So from this week's assignment, what questions do you have?
I liked when you said in the video, you know, we listen to help, not to judge. You know, just letting clients, you know, going through this process, I'm trying to, it really isn't about returns and asset allocation. With my teacher and her husband, you know, that's not what it is. It's all these service items that they think they're so important. And they don't even have all their money with me. They have 500 grand, which they think is so much, but they expect me to jump 6 feet when they're only paying for a foot, you know? So as I've had some of these meetings and told clients what I'm doing, a lot of clients just aren't, they don't act like they realize how blessed they are, that they have a spouse, that they have a business, that they have a million or two, their kids are healthy, they've got grandkids, and you know what? Some of them they wouldn't know what to do if they retired. I've got some small business owners I met with last week, and she said, you know, 13.82%. That doesn't seem like very much when I see, you know, the S&P's up 20 or 25, and I said, Maria, your husband called me 3 times in the last, you know, 9 months, freaking out about tariffs and we're going to have, you know, an election and all this stuff. But, you know, the last time he called, you know, you guys have a restaurant, and he said, well, vegetable costs, you know, avocados have went up by 25%, or, you know, this trade deal and tariff stuff, it's affecting us. And so I went a third to cash. They've got some small IRAs and a trust account. They've got a big annuity that they've built with me, and we've kept that invested, about $650. So I said, I think the performance is really good. But I've learned over the years and 20 years, when clients continually pound on, I'm nervous, I'm scared, as advisors, we are the professionals. We do this for a living, but I'm not going to talk you or your husband out of how you feel. So I am going to take action because I want you to know I hear you. But you can't hold me to performance when you're not 100% in equities and you're a 60-40, you know. And,
right.
You know, when I really got to the heart of it, they want to retire, but they don't have much in common, and neither one of them have any hobbies. they just like working, feeling important. She took 3 phone calls during our meeting, and that's the last time that's going to happen. You know, next time I set an appointment, and I always go to their office, their restaurant store, and we sit down in their little conference room, and they don't have anything invested because I make it too easy. They need to come to my office. They need to turn the phones off. If we're going to meet, we're going to meet and focus our time and our energy. But we had a pretty good conversation when they were both engaged because we got real that, boy, we got a son that wants to come in the business, but we got our 2 daughters that really don't. How do we make things equal? You know, it's always there's something more. You know, and that's what's real, is having the real conversations, because then you build more of a relationship.
That's really good. You're getting it. You're going to become more of a life coach rather than a financial advisor.
Yeah, it feels like a financial psychologist. It really does.
Yeah, you will. But you're going to help them with issues. You know, they're going to ask you about if their son is on drugs and what can they do. And they're going to say, I've got a guy. Okay. And yeah, you know, I had a client go through this, and you're going to tell them a story, and then you're going to introduce them to somebody that can help. And that's what we do. We're connectors. And that's when the job gets to be really cool.
Yeah.
Because anybody can get 60-40 and, you know, keep people invested.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah, right.
But not everybody can be that guy that cares enough to connect people with people that solve their problems, no matter what they are. That's a cool relationship. And, I mean, that's a life relationship, right? That's what servant leaders do. And that's what we really, and that's why you completely get this. And the more you read what I write, and the more you hear me, the more you'll understand, you know, where we're going and where we're coming from. That this is all about servant leadership and teaching and coaching and helping people make better lives, better choices in their lives. You know, you help people make better choices, they'll have better lives. And that's all we can do. We can't make choices for them. We just help them make better choices by us becoming better psychologists, psychiatrists for them. And that's, you know, it's great. It's great. But, you know, you can't do that for everybody. And so people have to have circumstances that are reasonably complicated, or they shouldn't, you know, they really shouldn't pay us what we should get paid. You know, if it's too simple, they don't. And that's, you know, part of it's getting the right words to make people understand what it is that you're doing. You know, over time, our situations have changed. I've become more of a specialist in helping people with very complicated situations, just like a surgeon would. And not everybody needs surgery. You know, some people need a general practitioner, some people need a surgeon. And I work on complicated cases now, and I charge more. And so you don't really need me at this point, because your situation, you need a general practitioner, you need a physical, you need to make sure there aren't any problems, et cetera. But, you know, for those people with very complicated situations, that's what I'm working on today. And so it kind of makes it, I explained that to somebody this morning. I thought that sounded kind of more reasonable. I know I've said it probably 100 times, but it just sounded clear to me this morning. And so I share that with you. I think it makes it a little bit clearer exactly what we're doing, why we're doing it. You know, we're not trying to be rude. We're not, you know, we have to charge more because, you know, our skill set has changed, and we're working on more specialized work. And that's, people get that.
Yeah.
And so it's not, you know, I'm just, my practice has changed over the years. And, you know, as I've gotten different designations and work, I specialize now in more complicated cases. estate planning, tax planning, et cetera. And I, frankly, I charge more now, and you don't need to pay that. And so I have a guy that's, you know, that's going to be perfect for you. So, yeah, I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think when you can tell stories and that makes it, you know, you use the example of why would you buy a Mercedes when you can buy a Chevy, you know, or go to the Ritz-Carlton versus the Hampton Inn or John Deere versus whatever, you know, the Cub Cadet.
Right.
It's because there's a perceived value. And clients have to get it. They've got to get it.
And if they don't, I mean, some people don't. They think you're crazy driving a really nice car, but once you've driven one, you're like, whoa.
Exactly.
You know, you get the service. They treat you great. Mercedes is a great example because if you take the smallest Mercedes in there, they're going to give you the same level of respect and service as if you brought, you know, an SL550, you know, $150,000 car in there. They treat you the same, and they give you great service. And so that's the A clients. We only have A clients at Supernova. As long as you meet our minimums, you're going to get great service. We don't discriminate.
And that's what's hard about this is now you start seeing people through a lens of, you know, Kim and Maria, and the guy's name is Kim. These restaurant owners. I mean, it was at the point the other day where I was like, you know what? I just wanted to stand up and say, you know what, guys, have a great weekend. It was my last appointment on Friday. You know, you guys don't get it. And, you know, you're taking calls and, you know, I you don't get it. And I just don't think this relationship's going to work out. I mean, I was revved up in trying to just be patient and kind because they really do need me. And,
right.
You know, they've got 529s for, you know, they got 7 grandkids and 8th is on the way. And they're good people. They really are. But sometimes when people get in their 55 and older and they've got some money and they're debt free and they live on the lake and they've kind of got all the stuff, they think there's this entitlement, this attitude. And I was going down that same path in my mid 30s. And then you'll have an issue that comes up that kind of wakes you up to be humble and kind. And not that you were ever mean spirited or rude, but just that you value everybody. And not everybody can be your client or your friend, but people just have to, you know, I want to work with good people. Like you said, no jerks. And
right,
that's
no
what
jerks
alone. All of a sudden when you go through this, you're like, you have more time to think about somebody or their relationship. You're like, man, do I really want to work with these people?
No, it's true. So what was your issue? May I ask?
With this couple?
No, in your 30s.
Being a junior partner to a couple of advisors, and I just wasn't growing as fast as I thought I was and getting there. And you know what? There's no shortcuts. You know, young grasshopper, be patient. You know, everybody's
right.
Got to go through a process. And then, you know, studying real hard and taking the CFP a couple times and, you know, spending 10, 12 grand and not get my CFP. And just, you know, slowing down and being more thankful for all that I have instead of a designation that I don't have.
Yeah.
That really crystallized it for me because, you know, there's a lot of smart people and good people that don't have the CFP or the CFA if you're an analyst or a JD or, you know, whatever. And
right.
They're still smart and knowledgeable. And, hey, I want to be better. If it comes down to me or somebody with a CFP, you know, maybe I'll go back and try for it again at some point. And I just missed it. You know, it was a couple questions. But
yeah,
it was
yeah.
such
you're
a it
smart.
Was such it was a real shot to the gut in my ego, and
yep.
I learned so much through it, just to be humble and kind and work hard, and sometimes you're chasing the wrong thing.
That's so interesting. That's good. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Best. I think you did better by not passing.
Yeah, I do. I actually do.
Yeah.
I heard, you ever heard of John O'Leary out of St. Louis? He was burned as a 9-year-old boy. He was playing with gas. I heard him speak last February at a Raymond James conference in Las Vegas, and it was during that whole polar vortex, and, you know, I didn't even know if I was going to get out of Kalamazoo, but we made it out, and he spoke, and so he was burned on 100% of his body, and the hospital folks said, you know, your little boy's not going to make it. His lungs are burned. He had smoke inhalation, and now when he was in the real estate business for like 20 years, but then his mom and dad wrote a book, and it really made him confront what he went through. I mean, he's lost an ear. He doesn't have fingers. He's had to learn how to live in a different way. But now he's a motivational speaker, and somebody asked him in Japan, John, if you could go back in time and change this, would you change it? And he's had multiple surgeries. You know, he can't be in the sun. His skin gets stretched. And, I mean, he said, no, I wouldn't change it because I've impacted lives. And what he had to go through, and Jack Buck, the sportscaster for the St. Louis Cardinals, he came to the hospital and said, you know, you're not going to die, kid. And it was his mom and dad. But Jack Buck then forced him, hey, write a note to Ozzie Smith. See if you get a baseball. It forced him to learn how to write when he just has, you know, little nubs for fingers. And it ended up that he wrote a note to every player on the Cardinals, and they sent him baseballs back. They autographed and sent him baseballs back when he would send each of the players a letter. So, you know, there's no reason that I shouldn't be successful because,
right,
you know, of how I was raised. I'm super blessed. So, I mean, this is just a job, but it's more than that because you can impact people. And, well, you deal with rich people. Well, you know what? Everybody in my practice, I mean, is here for a reason, I think. So.
I agree. You know, I got 2010, 9 years ago, I got cancer. And it's not a terrible cancer, but I asked him, how long do you think I have? And he said, 10 years. And they said, but there's a lot of breakthroughs. And I said, well, when? He said, about when you're going to need it, maybe in 6 or 7 years. So 6 or 7 years went by and I needed it, and there was the medicine. And, you know, I had the medicine for a year, and then now I'm not cancer-free, but I'm dormant. And, you know, I wouldn't change that for the world.
Oh,
that was the... It was such an important breakthrough for me. And my perception of fear and faith and just, you know, it's great when everything's cool.
You can relate to people that are going through what you're going through.
I run towards people with cancer. Yeah. Other people run away. It's great. It's great.
Well,
it's one of the great blessings.
Yeah. And John O'Leary didn't see, you know, the opportunity to use this gift, but somehow he wanted to help kids as a chaplain. And he had to go through a course, and it was more rigorous than he thought. And finally, whoever his mentor or boss was in this chaplain program sat down with him and said, tell me your story. Well, you know, I was burned, but I come from a normal home. And no, tell me your story. And he just didn't get it. No, you have a story, John. What you've been through. That's what you need to relate to, these kids that you're going to see. You're one of them. You know, and we all have a story, but that when he goes and sits down with key executives from companies, you know, you've got to get through the, you know, introduce yourself. Well, you know, my name's Eric Tiller. I grew up in Kalamazoo. I went to Western Michigan. I started as an analyst. But really introduce yourself, you know. And, hey, I'm Eric Tiller. I'm trying to get better in my practice. And, you know, I'm nervous that my daughter's a freshman. And, you know, the real stuff that matters. Because that's when you form real relationships. So I think it's similar in your practice. Because the 12-4-2 in more intimacy, that's when you find out the real story of somebody, right? That's what you're getting at. And all this is coming together. I mean, I started reading this book last night. All this is coming together. When I watched the video this weekend, and it's all coming together. And it's in God's timing. But we always want to get there sooner. But sooner wasn't back in 06 when I left, you know, Greenleaf Trust as an analyst and money manager and had a salary to want to have my own practice and make less. With, you know, taking a step back to finally someday being a business owner and having my own practice. It's tough, but it's worth it. But it doesn't come fast. Nothing worth having comes fast. And that's what you can't see as a 35-year-old versus a 45-year-old.
And the patience, just the patience to do it. You know, you want to be ambitious, but you need patience. You know, everybody, you interview a golfer and they just won the tournament. Or, you know, what's the difference between what you were doing 2 years ago and what you're doing now? Invariably, they say the same thing. I'm much more patient now. Patient. Yeah. How can you win when you're patient? No, you got to trust that you're going to have, see that when you're young and you want to make a birdie on every hole, but when you're older and you think through it, you know the par threes are not birdie holes. You know they're gonna. You just have to get your par and move on. The par fives are your birdie holes. You got to make birdies on every one of those, and that's what they learn. They're birdie holes and the wind and whatever. And if you don't understand that, then you press, and then you have a double bogey, and then you're out of the tournament. And that's the difference. And that's what we have to, you, me, everybody has to be patient to know that it's, for me, Eric, it's breakthroughs, okay? I have to be patient for the breakthroughs. So you're going to have a breakthrough, okay? You're going to help me have a breakthrough because you get it. All right, so you're going to tell me stories of things that you're doing, and something is going to be a breakthrough. Something is going to be, you tried this, and it worked, and this is what the client said. You don't have to even search for it. It'll come. But it'll be something that happens between you and I during this year where we'll have maybe more than one, but we'll have a breakthrough, and the breakthrough will seem little to you. It's huge to me. Because then I can share that with, you know, everybody. Because my mission is to improve the client experience by improving the FA experience. So you're going to help me improve your experience by improving a client experience or both. Right? And by you getting it at this early stage means that you're kind of a, You're one of the pioneers. You're a disciple already of the process. And
thank you.
Therefore, you're gonna get it. You're gonna have breakthroughs with your clients, and they're gonna have breakthroughs, and they're gonna hear it and feel it, and they're gonna. People say to me, you know, geez, I don't seem to get any introductions. I said, they'll come, but you know, they'll come more if you really are passionate about what you do. Because people are drawn to confidence and passion. And that's what, and they will send their friends. because that's different from everybody else. The person, you know, when you meet the person that loves their job, it's just so different. It's like completely different. You're like, this is wonderful. As a, you know, you're the best waitress I've had in a year. You're so great. Hmm. And you just want to go back there, you know?
Question. I was going to, you know, ask or tell Amber, my wife, about this morning, but these difficult clients, my teacher and her husband that I let go, so he sent me an email Friday night, 11:42, so I didn't see it until Saturday morning. So, you know, he said, well, I want a copy of the new updated trust. They had separate trusts, and then when I told them I was letting them go, they wanted to combine them, and it was a joint trust. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff they do. They always throw, you know, something simple becomes an issue. Well, the transfer firm wants a statement. Well, there isn't a new official Raymond James statement yet because you've done this in the middle of the month.
Right.
So, you know, I can print you out a holdings report that shows the official joint trust name and the account number and all the positions.
Right, send them last month's
positions. Yeah. So, but I want to have a conversation with a 70-year-old because Rick's got Rotary here. And I used to be in Rotary with Rick. But Rotary was a bunch of people that they just weren't givers. And so, anyways, I want to have a conversation with Rick today and tell him that, you know, we may not be working together anymore, but I hope we can have a friendship. But tell him in a way, say, you know, I'm just disappointed the way this all went down. I'm sorry it wasn't as fast or clean as you wanted, but, you know, this is the way we move. I'm not in charge of the transfer process.
Right.
You guys wanted to sell a few things, you know, and Penny, my teacher, what's so hurtful is that when I was a senior, you know, I was class president. I had a girlfriend I thought I wanted to marry. I was loved soccer. I'm taking accounting 1 and 2 from Penny, and I was overwhelmed. And I remember her putting her arm around me and saying, Eric, you're trying to do too much. Well, it's similar to what I've done with my practice. You're trying to grow through having too many clients. It's not quantity, it's quality. So now I feel like I can give her and Rick just maybe a parting shot of my wisdom because they just don't seem, she's not the same person. And I want to ask them, is there something going on? Can I help you? Can I give you my opinion? You know, what's changed with you guys? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you such critical people? This isn't you. You love your two boys that are like 45 to 50. You love your grandkids. You've been host parents for foreign exchange students. Rick, you're in Rotary. There's the 7-way test or whatever. Why all of a sudden, I was Penny's student and I'm your friend, why has it become so nasty and personal? Just because it wasn't a good business relationship. I mean, do you go there, Rob? Do you go there or not?
No.
They won't get it?
No. They won't.
Because I just feel like, you know what? I was going to give them John O'Leary's
the
book,
answer
this,
is,
this On Fire book, because I don't think they have God in their life. They're not thankful people. But you would not go there?
I know. No. No, because, you know, we call it don't break into prison. You know, you're going to get a storm back, because when people are unhappy, they don't see themselves as unhappy and they blame others for making them unhappy. So now you're the cause of their unhappiness. So they're going to blame you, and it's a lot of irrationality, and you're going to try and deal with it and help them and coach them. And that's just, no, there's no money in it. You know, you can't.
But what if they don't make it to heaven? by their attitude. I mean, they're good people. I really believe they have.
I know.
They're good people.
But you can't.
But it's more they're good-minded people, but their heart is off. It's not looking for the best in people, you know?
You can't save them all, Eric.
I know, but they've been good to me. I shoveled dirt in their yard when I was in high school and early in college. You know, these are people that took an interest in me, and then, you know, it's like, where did it go wrong? You know? I don't get it. And I just believe because they don't have faith in their heart. But
that's where you go to church and help people. Okay. I know.
So don't go there.
Don't go there. You're not, you know, there'll be another opportunity. This is not, the wound is too ripe. You're throwing salt in the wound because, you know, you said, no, I don't want to help you. I don't want to coach you. And now you're turning around saying, I want to help you. I want to coach you. Wait a minute. Can't do both.
Right.
So, you got to make it as clean as you can and move on, and then circle back if, you know, a chance they come to church or they go to the same church, or and you can be in Bible study together. Maybe that's when you.
No, they don't go to church. I just think they've done so many good things, but like, man, it's like sometimes the older the people get, and they've got money, and they really don't have any, you know, monetary worries, then it's, they look to be critical of who's, you know, they were unhappy that the receptionist called them hun, you know? That's degrading.
I understand.
Tell your receptionist not ever to call me hun. Well, what they don't know about our receptionist is, you know, she was in a, you know, relationship and her husband was beating her. You know, you just don't know what people have been through.
Right.
So why be critical? So thank you, because I didn't share that with my branch manager or anyone, but she's kind of helped me move these clients on, and she's seen that, you know, obviously everything in these emails is read by somebody. And she's like, I don't know how you kept these people for as long as you did.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
And hey, I trust you, so I'm telling you this, but if you're saying just let it go, then I'm going to let it go. I'll give him a statement. Wish him well.
It's too hot. It's too soon. It's too soon. If you really want to help them, you got to find another opportunity, but you've rejected them. And they feel rejected, and therefore they're not going to hear anything you say for a while. So
thank you.
Okay, Eric. Good talking with you. We start on acquisition on week 9.
All right.
Be ready.
All right. I know what I need to do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good
week. Bye-bye.